that you're back with us, dear lady. Woo, yes, let's give the Lord. All right, I will.
Oh, hallelujah.
All right.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, look at that. Let's see. You're on.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, let's give the Lord a hand clap.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
We're so grateful to have you here with us.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here.
Amen.
My.
Put your hands toward her.
Oh,
let's just pray.
Just pray. Believe the Lord.
Been 50 years preaching. She said 51 years.
51 this
years.
November.
I bet we better listen to her. You hear me?
Hallelujah.
This is
thank
one of the most respected women ministers in the nation. She really
God,
is. I've never talked to a pastor, and I've talked to many of them that have had her, and many of them have her every year she comes back.
Thank you, Father.
And she's a submitted woman of the Lord.
Thank you,
to the Lord first, and to the local church and the local pastor secondly. And that's why she goes back.
Hallelujah.
I don't sense a rebellious bone in her.
Thank you, Father.
And preachers can pick up on that real easy.
Yes.
We can pick up on it. And so, but we want to just pray that she is so submitted to the Spirit of God.
Oh,
she's
hallelujah.
Going to say what we need, not what we want. But what we need.
Oh,
you hear
hallelujah.
What I said? What we
glory,
need.
Glory,
not what
glory.
We want, but what we need.
Yes,
God, just anoint
yes,
her
yes.
with Holy Ghost power today,
hallelujah.
Lord. God, let the Spirit of the Lord just be released in her in full measure,
it.
Lord, to do glory what is needed in this body
God.
Today. That we'll have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to this church and to this body of believers in Jesus'
hallelujah.
Name. And all the people said, amen. You may be seated.
They go down.
We go down, yeah.
How do thank the Lord for this privilege. My, when you were singing that chorus, Burn in Me, I said, I thank you, Lord, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of them. We can sense the presence of God. And He's here today to edify. He's here to comfort. He's here to charge us, to challenge us. And I want to say before we go into the Word, now Arlene sings beautiful, but we just got back from Greece. We went to Corinth, and we went to Athens and saw Mars Hill. We were on the Isle of Patmos, went right in the cave where John the Beloved wrote the book of Revelation. We saw the prison where Paul was when he wrote the book of Ephesians and Philippians. And so in that long flight back home, Sister Arlene's got allergy and her sinus is draining. So she said, I'll just keep praying and that she'll be able to sing right away. But we miss her singing this morning. But I give honor to your pastor, Brother Johnston and Ruth. How we do appreciate them. Their years of faithfulness. And thank God as we submit to them. Now we're here in this pulpit, but they're our covering. And the Bible said, submit to those who have the rule over you. So we submit to this pastor and his wife. And we come in this church that we might be a blessing. That God may use us for His glory. In other words, we just come to just do whatever the Lord wants us to do, and we'll compliment His ministry. And I know the best way to honor this pastor and his wife is by honoring Jesus. So we'll lift Jesus up, and they'll be honored. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to pray and ask God to anoint the lips of clay. Don't miss tonight's service and tomorrow night, because God has just given me in the last few weeks a message on the eagles. It's tremendous. It's straight from heaven. And tonight we'll be preaching on the eagles. Tomorrow night we'll be preaching on the storms. How do you survive the storms? And then the traps. You may make it through the storm, but will you survive the traps of an eagle? So don't miss tonight and tomorrow night. The Lord's going to move in a mighty way in every service. And I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that you cared enough that you got out of bed, you care enough about your soul, with all of the troubles, and many of you are going through very severe tests, but you had something in you that said, if I can get to the house of God, I'll get help. God will help me. And He's going to help you today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I thank Him for healing me of cancer. I had cancer in 1989 of the breast. 10 lymph nodes was cancerous. They took the lump out. It was cancerous. And I want to praise Him. That was in 89. I never had the lump removed. I never went back and had chemo nor radiation. But I thank God that I said, Lord, as I go preach, let that anointing flow through my body. Curse every cancer cell in my body. Glory to God. And I want you to know, thank the Lord, I'm in my 10th year. They gave me no hope. They said that tumor and the other tumor and the other tumors, it will eat through you because you've got it in your lymph system. But thank God He arrested it, and I'm made whole by the stripes of Jesus Christ. Thank God He's a Savior, He's a healer, He's a sustainer, He's a deliverer, He's everything we need. He's El Shaddai. Glory to God. He's El Shaddai. Gracious Father, I thank You in the name of Jesus for the Word of God, its spirit, and its life. Oh, hallelujah. Now, Father, as we stand here today as Your vessel, God totally committed to You and Your cause, I ask You to speak through the lips of clay. I bind every demon that has been released against different individuals in this church. I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tie you up hand and foot, and I render you helpless to work. God, release angels to work in our behalf right now. Holy Father, God of Israel, encourage, convict, and by the Spirit, do the miracles that You want to do, and we'll praise You. Shall we say amen in Jesus' name? You may be seated. Now, we've talked to different ones from different areas that will be here tonight, and many will be coming from Gonzales. Brother Randy and Beth's coming, and Brother Don Adair is going to be here tonight, and different ones are coming. So you come early to get a seat. And I'm glad for this joint revival. It's going to be great. I want you to turn with me to Matthew, the 25th chapter. The Lord gave me this message. The 25th chapter of Matthew. I'm preaching on the midnight cry. I want to bring out some things. The 25th chapter of Matthew's gospel. I'm beginning to read with the first verse, the 25th chapter of Matthew. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps. They went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom tarried, this is where we are right now. Jesus has tarried. But now watch what happened. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, I believe I saw a scientist on headline news, not a minister, not a prophet. He went when they developed the nuclear bomb in Pakistan and in India. He went when it was in Pakistan. He moved the hand over to 2 minutes before midnight. Now, this is the scientist. He said, we're approaching doomsday for America. Now, I want you to know that we're very close to the coming of the Lord. Now, I'll be bringing out many things to prove this to you this morning. He said, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, but at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. All of the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us in you. You go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. But while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins. Now, they were virgins. They had lamps. At one time, they had oil. The virgins came and said, Lord, Lord, open to us. He answered and said, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. I don't know you. Now, I want you to understand, that did not mean he didn't know their names. But that word know in the Greek is the same word in Hebrew when it said Adam went in and knew his wife. An intimate relationship. God knows every name of every person on the face of the earth. But what Jesus was saying, you and I never had a relationship. You joined the church. Perhaps you shook somebody's hand. And you went to the front. But you and I never had a relationship. I was never the Lord of your life. He said, if I be not Lord of everything, I'm not Lord at all. He said, I never knew you. And he said, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, this morning, he said, you don't know the very day. You don't know the very hour. But he said, as you look at a fig tree and you see it begin to blossom and begin to put forth its shoot, you know that it's fruit-bearing time. He said, now certain things are going to transpire. And he said, you're going to know the season of his coming. You're going to know when the coming of the Lord is getting near. He said, I'm going to give you several signs, like going down a highway. And it'll give you a sign, so far to New Orleans, so far. In other words, you keep seeing signs. God said, now look for this and look for that. And when you see this taking place, look up. I'm coming soon, and your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. I want to bring out three facts this morning. The midnight crowd. There was a crowd at this midnight hour. I want to preach on the crowd. I want to preach on the midnight cry. And I want to preach on the midnight crises. Listen to me. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Jesus Christ is coming soon. But I want to tell you this. He is coming back in an hour that is packed with terror. He's coming back in an hour and in a day that will be filled with crime. He's coming back in an hour when the world will be bent to destruction. You say, why do you say that it's going to be an hour that's filled with crime? Why do you say that it's going to be a day packed with terror? It's going to be an hour and a day when the world is on the brink of destruction. I'm going to tell you why. right over in the chapter before this, the 24th chapter, he said, you don't know the day or the hour, but he said, it will be like it was in the days of Noah. All right, now this is a sign. He said, I want you to look for it. How was it in the days of Noah? Why did I say it would be an hour filled with crime and packed with terror? I'm going to read your scripture. You can get the tape or you can follow me in Genesis 6th chapter of Genesis. We're looking at the day of Noah, and God said it will be like it was in the days of Noah before my coming. So he said, look how it was in the days of Noah, and if it's the same way, I'm coming soon. It said in the 6th chapter of Genesis, and God saw that the wickedness, the 5th verse of the 6th chapter, was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. 11th verse. He said, in the days of Noah, the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Did you hear that? The earth was filled with violence, and it was packed with crime and terror and filth. He said it was corrupt. He said everything, their minds was on evil continually. I want you to know, I want to read you something in an article that you can relate. If you think that you've seen crime and you've seen terror, you haven't seen anything. It's going to escalate and escalate. We're seeing tornadoes every time you turn on news. It's an earthquake here. It's a flood there. It's a hurricane here. It's someone killing their children. Somebody killing their parents. I want to warn you today, you that are here, that you do not have peace with God. Do not go home today without repenting of your sin, because this is going to escalate. It's going to intensify. More crime, more terror, more earthquakes, more flood, more violence, more violence, more violence. And we must know God in order to be able to stand. You won't be able to stand. Do you remember seeing this? He said in the last days, now this is another sign in Timothy. He said in the last days, in the second Timothy, he said, perilous times shall come. He said that men will be lovers of their own self, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without, now watch this, without natural affection. Without natural affection. Do you remember seeing this? The Time magazine wrote this and told about how that Susan Smith claimed that her two young sons had been abducted by a kidnapper. A little later, it was discovered that she had strapped them two sons into the rear seat of a family car, had driven it to a lake not far from her home in South Carolina. There she got out and she pushed the car down the steep shoreline where it coasted into the water. A 9-day search discovered the boys drowned, still strapped in their seat. How can a mother... You see, a mother with natural affection, she will give her life for her children. But a mother without natural affection, he said in the last days, they will be without natural affection. A mother without natural affection, she won't give her life for her children. She'll give her children that she might. It said she thought she was in love with someone else. So she drowned her two boys that her life could go on. You remember reading about the father that took a needle. He had worked at an aid in a hospital, took a needle and withdrew tainted blood, the AIDS virus, took that hypodermic needle home, shot it into his own little boy. And when this boy now perhaps has already died, they ask him, why did he do this? He said, because I was getting a divorce and I did not want to pay child support, and a dead child means no child support. Without natural affection. I want you to hear me. You're going to see more about what I just read to you. I thought when I was seeking the Lord in the midst of the confusion and in the midst of nations being in turmoil, as your pastor has been bringing out and Ruth about the Y2K, nations will be in perplexity. They're in a state of confusion. But now here's something else God said. In the midst of the confusion, in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the destruction, the darkness and the gloom, the church as a whole, I'm not talking about local bodies. I'm talking about the church as a whole. It is weak, it is tottering, and it is uncertain. It is not standing up with a clear, strong voice and saying, this is the way. This is the way that leads home. Jesus is the answer. But while the world is reeling and rocking, and while the world is in darkness and gloom, the church as a whole, they're meeting over yonder discussing whether we should ordain homosexuals or not. They're meeting over here in another organization, and they're discussing whether the Bible, the Word of God, is inspired or not. I'm saying that thank God for a little local body here and a local body there that'll stand up in the midst of the gloom and saying, we're facing the end of the world. We're facing the soon coming of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the light. There is no other way except by the way of the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you to notice some truths here I want to bring out. It said they all slumbered and slept. Not just the unwise, but the wise. What an indictment. The foolish, the wise, the ready, the unready, they heard that the bridegroom was coming. They knew he was on his way, but in spite of all they knew, they indulged in slumber. I want to tell you this morning, by my estimation and according to the Word of God, the church as a whole is asleep. They are asleep to comparison how awake we should be. This is the last and the closing moments of world's history of the day of grace. And the Word said, the wise and the unwise, they all slumbered and slept. If you don't believe the church is asleep, go to Sunday night service. If you don't believe the church as a whole is asleep, go to Wednesday night service. You can hardly get them out on Sunday morning. And yet we say that we love God, that we believe Jesus is coming soon. He's right at the threshold. Then why aren't we engaged in everything that we can do to reach the lost, to reach the dying, to help one another to make it? What is wrong? We are sleeping, and we've got to say, God, in the name of Jesus, Stir me. Stir me. God, wake me up. Wake me up, God. My mother's lost. My daddy's lost. My son's lost. And I don't even care enough to go to church. I want to talk to you about some perils of sleeping. I want to talk to you about the dangers of sleeping. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 24, but I won't turn to it. Saul, while he was pursuing David, after the hunt and after the search, Saul became tired and Saul became weary. And the Bible said that he laid down to sleep. I'm talking about the perils of sleeping. And while he was asleep, David steals up and cuts off a piece of his garment. He could have cut his head off. But he just cut off a piece of his garment, and he went a few hundred feet away from him, and he took that piece of garment and he began to wave it. While he was asleep, he cut off his garment. The analogy is obvious, and the analogy is terrifying. While he was asleep, he lost a piece of his garment. I want you to know this morning, Church of the Living God. While we have been asleep, we have lost a part of the garment of holiness. We have lost a piece of the garment of commitment. We have lost a piece of the garment of dedication. Nobody, you find very few people that are totally committed to God. While we have slept, the enemy's come in and he stole a part of the purity and the righteousness and the conviction of the Church of the Living God. We are doing things and watching things and going places that we would have never even entertained 10 years ago. The church is backing Hollywood. Do you think they're all sinners that are standing in the theater lines paying their money that God blessed them with for an R-rated movie or an X-rated movie? If it wasn't for the church, every picture show would be shut down. And it's people that claim that Jesus is Lord. I want you to know this. You think the church hasn't lost something in the last 15 or 20 years? When we entertain ourselves with adultery, bed hopping, homosexuality, prostitution, and we sit and we say that God is holy and we're holy and that our temple is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we sit and we watch one man jump out of bed with one woman and then jump in bed with somebody else that's not his wife, and we can't even wait to watch it. We'll video it if we've got to be uptown. And the church is being entertained. We say we don't believe in adultery. We don't believe in homosexuality. We don't believe in cursing God and using God's name in vain. We say we don't believe it, and yet we sit. And that's our entertainment. Listen, we better wake up and smell the coffee. I want you to know that the time is at hand, that Jesus is coming. And I want you to hear me. The church that has given way to the enemy, and the church that has lost their commitment, they've lost their dedication, they've lost their holiness, they've lost their burden, they've lost their love for God. You are not going to make it. Jesus said, if I am not Lord of all, that's Lord of your television, Lord of your money, And if you can't know when to cut it off, take an axe and chop it up and throw it out. Do you think the world thinks that we don't believe in adultery when we stand in the same theater line they stand in? Do you think the world, you wonder why our churches are empty? Because they've seen such junk in church. Do you think the world is going to believe in what we preach when we sit and say, Jesus is the Lord of my life. I love God. I love God. I love God. And they're sitting there on that screen cursing God, using God's name in vain, talking like a decent sinner wouldn't even listen to it, and church people stand in line to get a ticket. That may get too wet to plow, but I'm going to plow anyhow. Honey, God didn't call me to win a popularity contest. He called me to preach the word. Preach the word. And God said, without holiness, no man shall see God. And God said, give no place to the devil and shun the very appearance of evil. I'm going to tell you this. This is an hour. Jesus is coming soon. He said, come out from among them. Come out from among them. He said, you have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness. I put you in the kingdom of my dear son. Walk like Jesus. Talk like Jesus. Act like Jesus. If you're my son, bear my resemblance. This is the day that God is calling every sincere, born again, blood washed child of God to look at the devil and say, I've given you the last day of my life. I'm going to make a commitment, hallelujah, that will stir my wife, stir my husband, stir my children, stir my community, stir my family, and they're going to know that I have been born again. God said, when you're born again, the old things pass away. All things become new. The things you used to love, you now hate. The things you used to hate, you now love. If you've never had an experience with God where you hated the ungodliness and you loved the pure, you've never been saved. If there's no hatred in you for the ungodly, if you don't cringe, when somebody damns God, Ruth and the pastor and I were talking, and Arlene, we got this letter yesterday before I left, and she got hers from David Wilkerson. Now, I'm going to tell you what the Holy Ghost is doing right now. He's gripping your heart. We're reading magazines that we ought to burn up. We're looking at things that we've got to repent of if we make it. We're going to have to come out from the world. As long as the world can't tell the difference in you and them, you will never convince them that you've been saved. They say, look, you smoke the same brand I do. You stand the same theater line I stand in. You cuss just like I do. You pitch the same temper fits I pitch. Your life isn't any different than mine. And I'm going to tell you, don't ever think the world doesn't know real from unreal. When they see your car parked at your house on Wednesday night, watching the same filth, rot, gut mess out of hell they're watching, and the church is two-thirds empty, they'll say, don't be coming over here handing me a bunch of tracts and telling me how you love Jesus when you don't care enough about God and you don't care enough about the church to even go to it. David Wilkerson said this. He said, tonight at 8 o'clock, September the 26th was what he was talking about this year, September. The filthy play, Corpus Christi opened, just a few blocks from Times Square Church where he pastors. In this play, Jesus is openly depicted as a homosexual, having a sexual affair with Judas and with his disciples. And then he placed a wide mouth kiss on Judas's lips. Listen to what I'm saying. I asked the Lord, David Wilkerson said, how the church could fight back. Now you better take notice of what I'm telling you. You think we've seen trouble? He said the Holy Spirit spoke very clearly to my heart saying, do not fight. God said, this is my battle. This is out of your hands, David Wilkerson, and out of everybody's hands. Today God signs the death warrant. This is the day that America dies. It dies as a leading world power. It dies as the power that leads. He said this. He said in today's paper, they said they're bringing it to Broadway. He said this is war. God will not sit by and let this ungodly society turn Jesus Christ into a promiscuous homosexual. Surely New York City and the nation has gone too far. This is the last act of impotence. Our economy is doomed. The depression that I've warned you about is now on its way. The day America died, you hear me, you listen to me tonight. He said the crime rate in New York City had been going down, but he said now it's going to be a new surge. He said, we've never seen anything like what's fixing to take place. He said, God said, this is not your battle. This is my battle. I want you to hear me. I would be afraid to walk in the play. I would be afraid hardly to go down the street. But what's wrong? The church has been asleep. And as William Bennett wrote in his book, The Death of Outrage. The Death of Outrage. Where is the outrage coming from the church to stand up and say, we will not allow this play to go on. We will not put up with this. Listen, I'll tell you why. It's because the church is as backslid as the world, and they have no standard, no holiness, no conviction, no love for God. And that's why the world today is reeling and rocking like a drunk man. Margaret Thatcher said in the England paper, the church has failed us. While he slept, the Bible said he went on fighting and said then he got tired and he got weary. You see, the devil is an old devil. You remember what I'm telling you. He knows if he hits you long enough, has he won every battle? He'll hit you with this, hit you with this, hit you with that, and you get tired. He said, don't be weary in your mind. And you know what starts happening? The devil starts hollering, won't you give up? Won't you quit praying? Why don't you quit going to church? Why go? You're not doing any good. Why don't you quit this? And place a rising up and say, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. But you see, when you get weary, you got a financial problem. You got a child problem. You got a parent problem. You've got problems here. After a while, you become weary. You become weary. You become tired. Oh, and then the devil says, why don't you give up? Give up. Give up. Give up. Give up. And he will keep on. And you know what? How many of you know he's given up? How many of you here this morning is one of the greatest struggles you've ever been in, and every devil out of hell is telling you to throw in the towel? Just quit. The Lord spoke to me when I said that, and he said, there's many here today that's weary, and you're tired, And you've been a lot of battles. But I want you to know our reward is right around the corner. It's even at the door. That we've longed for, that we've wished for, that we've prayed, it's even at the door. But the Bible said, while Saul slept the second time, while he was weary of the journey, he laid down to sleep. David came in, and this time he took his spear and he took his water. When he lost his spear, he lost his defense. When he lost his water, he had no substance. I'm going to close in a few minutes, but I felt of the Lord as I've been looking and sensing in the Spirit. If you ever cried out to God to wake you up, if you ever cried out to God to touch you, do so this morning in this service. He lost his water. And did you know the amazing paradox about the hour in which we live? I left home to preach 51 years ago. Now, I want to tell you this. The closer we're getting to the end of the age, the more difficult it is to maintain the vigil. The closer we get to the end of the age, the more difficult it is to maintain a sharp edge. The more difficult it is, the strength, the courage, the determination, the dedication. You see, demons have been released against the body of Christ. I'm talking about special agents. Satan knows that his time is very short. So he's released a host of trained evil spirits to torment you, to harass you. And when you get tired and you get weary and you go to sleep, he'll say, give up. But I ask you this morning, you come and say, God, I've lost a lot of my commitment. I've lost a lot of my dedication. God, I've lost a lot of my purity. And I see it. I see it. I was under attack of Satan. That's what he wants me to do. He doesn't want me to be a light to my family. He doesn't want me to be the salt of the earth. But he's trying to get me to give up. So they'll say, I knew there wasn't anything to it. I knew there wasn't anything to it. I will bring out two more points in closing. I won't be lengthy on either one. The next point is, notice not only the crowd, but you'll notice the cry. They said, oh, the bridegroom cometh. You heard the cry. Not everybody was asleep. Just the virgins. But the friend of the bridegroom was still awake. Everybody was tempted. Everybody was tired. Don't you know that somebody else yawned? Don't you know that somebody else wanted to sit down? Don't you know that somebody else wanted to lay down? But that friend of the bridegroom, that pastor, that leader, that nursery worker, that friend of the bridegroom said, I cannot, I must not, I cannot go to sleep. I've got to blow the trumpet. I've got to sound the alarm. He's coming. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. I thank God for every pastor, every husband, every wife, every young person. Sure, we get tired. Sure, we're tempted to lay down. Sure, we're tempted to go to sleep. But say, God, I cannot, I will not, I must not. God, I must not, I will not, I cannot. I'm going to blow the trumpet. I'm going to sound the alarm. Jesus is coming soon. And the last thought, when the cry was made, they said, we have no oil. You see, the midnight crisis. Are you ready? If Jesus were to come today, is there any doubt in your mind that you would go up to meet him? You're talking about confusion. You talking about a fearful discovery. I don't have any oil. I ran out of gas. Dear God, why didn't I turn the television off and pray? Why didn't I put aside the cares of life and read the Word? He's going to come and He's going to go. And you're going to realize He's come and gone and you were left behind. And He said there'll be no day like it ever before nor since or ever will be again on the face of the earth. In closing, I thought of this when I was reading it. Noah preached. How was it in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, in the days of Noah? He preached, he preached, he preached, he preached, and they wouldn't listen. Are you listening? Are you hearing? They wouldn't get right. He kept saying, it's coming. They said, you said that 5 years ago. You said that 50 years ago. But he kept preaching. He said, I'm going to tell you, it's coming. The judgment's coming. And then it came. But what his preaching didn't do, the first thunderclap did. What his preaching did not do, the first thunderclap did. But it was too late. While they come and play softly at Ruth and the one that sings the closing hymn, while they come and play softly, I want to talk to you from my heart. While every head's bowed, every eye's closed, as they get the closing hymn ready. I want you to let the Holy Spirit, as she plays softly, I want you to let the Holy Spirit start talking to you. I knew when the Holy Spirit, when I began to preach, and I got in the middle of the message, I saw people that were tired. I saw people that were weary. The enemies hit you from every side. And through this, you began to look at things you'd never looked at before, because you became discouraged. You began to talk like you never would have talked before. And then you began to miss church. It's not because down in your heart you don't want to be ready. It's because the enemy has got you tired. He's got you weary. He's got you discouraged. How many will raise your hands this morning and say, Sister Peggy, I sit here and the Holy Spirit's talked to me. Sister Peggy, I need to pray. I feel that I need to ask God to forgive me. And I want to be ready when Jesus comes. I don't want to be left behind. But there are things in my life, whether it's attitudes, works, things that you've engaged in. Let's say, Sister Peggy, in the next minute or two, it's 17 minutes to 12. I want you to come right now. I want to pray with you. Come on up here. I want you to kneel. I want you to kneel. We're going to repent while we sing softly. Let's kneel. Go ahead. to be a sanctuary. Just keep coming. Holy
Fire.
Just keep coming as we stand all over the church. If you've backslid, if you've never been a Christian, before all hell breaks loose and we have nuclear explosions and the world is reeling and rocking, let's stand in the congregation. Will you come and get right with God? You that are not right with God, Jesus is coming. Will you come? Will you ask God to forgive you? Will you ask the blood to wash you? Will you come quickly? Will you come quickly? If there's another man, a woman, bar, girl, you're not right with God, would you come right now?
I'll be a
sanctuary. Let's sing this one more time, then I'm going to lead you in prayer. Prepare me. Pure and holy, God and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living. Now I'm going to lead you in prayer, and I want you to repeat after me. I'll ask the pastor to take your part. Say, Gracious Father,
Gracious Father,
on my bended knees, I thank you for the word that makes us free. Thank you for convicting me. Thank you for loving me. Father, I want you to forgive me for every sin that I have committed against you in word, in thought, or in deed. I want you to forgive me. Take the precious blood of Jesus and wash away. Wash away all of my sins. Jesus, come into my life. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Fill me with the oil of God. Fill me with the Spirit. God, I say yes to you. I will live for you. I will obey you. And God, when I fail, I'll ask forgiveness. But I will not give up. Jesus, I know you're coming soon. And by your grace, I intend to be ready. In Jesus' name. I want us to stand now and begin to praise Him. Now tonight, oh, let's begin to praise Him. Begin to mara shakaya laha. Lora bora ye kanda la maya. Oh, randelele yandololo branda la maya. Father, I thank you, Lord. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, I thank you, Father. I don't want you to miss tonight's service. I'm going to preach to you on the eagle. As they play very softly, I will announce this again. Come tomorrow night on the storms and the traps of an eagle. We'll be laying hands on different ones of you in this church. The Lord will have different words for different people. But God is going to do a new work in our lives. I see the anointing on you, my brother. The Lord's got His hands on your life. And this morning when you made that dedication, you made that total commitment, I see you walking out in a green pasture. Hallelujah. The Lord's going to use you to win many to Him.
Amen.
There are people here this morning.
Amen.
There are people here this morning, my sister with the plaid skirt on. I saw you, and the Lord said you had been through so much. You become so tired and so weary. But the Lord said, tell her this morning she's going to find a new strength. And as you say yes to Him, God said your situation and your circumstance is going to start turning around for the best. Your circumstance. I'm going to tell you mothers something, and you dads and young people. Some of you have got a lot of heartache and a lot of hurt. But things, listen, in the last hour, God is going to speak to us, show us what to do, how to do. Angels are going to visit His people. I've had the Lord speak to me directly and tell me exactly what to do. I've had God reveal Himself to me in visions. Jesus Christ has appeared to me in visions. But we're going to have the greatest walk with God that we've ever had. And as it gets darker for the world, it's going to get brighter for us.
Right.
Oh, Randoro Marayandaya. Randoro Maradaya. But you see, in order to hear His voice, you got to be close enough to hear Him. And then you've got to be intimate enough to know what He means. You know, when you go out to eat and you look at your children with a certain look, they know you well enough to know what you mean. And when you say something, it may pass me, but they hear you. I want to be close enough to hear Him, and I want to have an intimate relationship with Him. I'll know what He's talking about when He says it. This is where we're coming. It's not all giving up and laying aside. If you could only see what's in store for you when you lay aside and make a commitment, when Jesus appears to you, when He said, this is what you do now, this is where I've had God tell me the street to go down, the road to turn on. I've had Him give me, I'm talking about like an audible voice guiding me. So God bless you, our pastor and yours. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock. We're in for a glorious camp meeting.
Let me mention one other word before you go. The water is warm. It's very warm. And so if any of you, God has spoken to you about water baptism, just bring a change of garments and a towel, and we'll meet in the fellowship hall at 5 o'clock. We'll have the baptism at 6. We'll do that first. The tape, Arlene will be at the tape table out in the foyer, so the tapes are available. God bless you. Have a good afternoon. We'll see you again tonight. God bless you.